ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. If you're truly born again, yeah, you're going to have moments of not being lucid about what's right and wrong. And you can make it as simple or as complicated as you want, but this is our journey. He says, not many days after, because it doesn't take long when a person realizes they're saved and God's going to keep them, that they start testing the boundaries. And after they tested the boundaries and got away with a little sin, and got away with a little sin, and got away with a little sin, pretty soon they're out there in the field looking around saying, man, I'm outside the fence. And they begin to walk outside the fence like in Pilgrim's Progress, and next thing you know, they're in Giant Despair's castle. Remember that? It's a beautiful picture. Makes sense. It communicates. It's the picture. Believers can't go on in sin. Why? Because they'll be miserable. Yeah, he that is born of God cannot continue in sin. 1 John. Why? Because you'll be miserable. If you continue to push that envelope, you'll get more miserable. And it ends in chapter 5 of 1 John about a sin unto death that can actually occur. No, he says this man, after he got his inheritance, gathered all together and took his journey. And he took his journey into a far country. Interestingly enough, the idea before us is very profound. Because if you think about it, we're told very clearly in 1 John chapter 5 that we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The idea is being in the lap of the wicked one, like a baby being kind of rocked to sleep. And this is what you're seeing here. He says he went into a far country. You know, the far country is the devil's country. This is the world. The devil is the god of this world. He usurped it from man who had dominion. He usurped it in the garden, and ever since then he's been having a party until the cross. And at the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. He rendered him, really, in all practical purposes, idle as far as a believer who's got his eyes in his head is concerned. The Bible says that Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroyed literally means render it idle. In other words, it's like Han Solo in Star Wars where he was in carbonite. And it's just one of those things that we're all familiar with in our culture. But I say to you, it's just like that. The devil's kind of been rendered idle if we see it for what it is. The Bible says in Colossians 2, Jesus through the cross disarmed the principalities and powers. He took away all of their tools. He defanged them and declawed them, one said. So now all they've got is lies, and lies can control you. If you believe a lie, it will control you. And so what this young man is, he's on his journey and he's listening to his way. And the Bible tells us deliberately don't do that. You know, everything people say today is, hey, follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Last thing you ought to do is follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? No. The Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. He will make your way smooth, one translation has it. You and I have been given this perfect position, but if we begin to trust our heart, we would find ourselves in a far country. You know, the world's got a Christianized part of his country. Did you know that? It looks a lot like the world, but everybody's talking about Jesus and smiling and happy and hopping around. Now, listen, just because something looks good doesn't make it good, okay? A lot of believers struggle a lot with just trying to keep clear in regard to all that is going on in our world today. There's a lot of forces pulling us to the left and to the right. Man, you don't really know where to stand. You don't really know how to be because you're just trying to keep your bearings because there are so many different stories around you. Other people have their journeys. Some people are out here a little bit far. You know they're a believer, but man, they're over there playing with something you don't even understand. You're like, wow, I think I'll just stay in this lane right here, in this lane. And that's good. You should stay in the lane. And by the way, you say, well, that's maybe a little stretching, and it's not. The Bible talks about those people in Romans 14. A stronger brother, a weaker brother, one could eat meat offered idols and one couldn't. You know what? When in doubt, don't, right? Paul says, I won't eat meat as long as the earth lasts if it offends my brother, if it's going to make him stumble. He had a conscience toward idols and meat offered idols, and, you know, so you don't do that. You just don't push people. You and I have a thing called liberty that is governed like a governor on a truck that you're trying to get to go 65 and it can only go 60. You're just like, But we have a governor, and the governor is love. We don't go so fast that we hurt people. You know, there's a place you can live right in the middle where it's safe and there's no questions asked. And that's a good place to be. Try to be in the place where no questions are asked, because that gets you past all of the sidebar issues and you begin telling about Jesus. Because we are to be, Ephesians 1 says, to the praise of His glory. We're to be, exist, that's what He has us to do, to be to the praise of His glory. He wants us to be. That's the people we are to be. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to be showing forth of His praises. All of them, because there's a bunch. And so we see this guy, he's on his own journey, and he went into a far country, and that country tended to be owned by somebody other than the God that he grew up to know. And it says, there he wasted his substance. Interesting thing about this word wasted, it's a word that's typically used of those who are routed or terror-stricken. Okay, these are people who've been blown away and now they're running the other way and driven by some other impulse to fly in every direction. Think about that. What he's saying is once you get into sin, it begins to consume you and you begin to think, I'll try this, I'll try that. We always talk about gateway drugs and marijuana. You know, the next thing you know, they're into something else. It's worse than that, though, isn't it? It's like a sugar thing, right? I mean, I just want to confess, I'm not buying of late almond M&Ms. I just don't need them in the room with me. I'm just saying, you can't just eat one. Yeah, like Lay's potato chips, I haven't had them in a while. But almond M&Ms. You can't eat one, you just keep going. And they're so convenient, the bag, it'll close. Anyway, forget that. But you get the point. This is the way it is. Sin's like that. It's like he's routed. He's got this money. He's got this inheritance. He's got this liquidity. He's got his freedom. He can do whatever he wants. And what happens is he gets out there and he wastes everything. And you can see the pictures you've maybe seen in cartoons, maybe eating grapes, leaning back with his friends, everybody throwing back a pint or whatever they're doing in the pictures you've seen. This kid's out there and he's on the edge and he's living loose and fast. And he doesn't resemble his father back home at all. He's glad he's far away because his father can't see him probably. In fact, he's going to get to that. And the Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, some believers can waste their substance of Christ, you know, all of the good that's there. They can milk it to the end. I want you to, next time you read through your Bible and you're going through and you're watching David, when he falls with Bathsheba, he is never the same. All you see with David is Joab saying, you need to come out to this city because I'm going to take it. It's not good for me to take it because it'll go in my name. You need to be here. He has to coax him out. Come on out. He's whining when the time comes and Israel's having a coup staged. Absalom and his son dies and all Israel fought valiantly. The battle was good. It was important. It was a clean kill. Everything was as it should be. And he's, oh, Absalom, my son, because he feels so... He never, ever gets out of that rut of, it's my fault. It's my fault he's dead. You know, I just want to write some psalms. And I want to look at Jesus. And he writes psalms. It's like he wants to constantly get back to his study. And that's a beautiful thing in one sense, but it's also tragic because he wasted his substance when he went after Bathsheba. He wasted his substance when he enlisted Joab to have him put at the hottest part of a battle. He wasted his substance. All of his influence. He says, you've given great cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. But you want to know what's beautiful about the story, the gift in the garbage is that he's still loved of God, and you and I know that. We don't have to do that to know that. We can see it. The wise man learns from the mistakes of other people. Look at Jesus, how awesome he is to receive people when they come to him in affliction and in fallenness. The demoniac from Gadara, the woman taken in adultery, even Nicodemus reasoning with him, eating with Pharisees as well as with publicans and sinners. He loves people. He loves them like this father. These are his people. These are the Jewish people. He stays with the people of God because it's not fit that he gives the meat of the children to the dogs. Remember, the Syrophoenician woman was told. And so he says here in verse 13, he went out and he wasted his substance. Now that's a thing to ponder because America's in big trouble right now, and it's because the church as an entity has wasted its substance. Our influence and our reputation is on hard times. If we will be honest, it's true. It's not one person or another. It's all of us. We're all in this mess. And right now, we have to recognize that we as an influence in our world are like a drunken man staggering. We're just kind of unstable. We don't have our compass in place like we should, perhaps. And so when we see him saying he wasted his substance, it's important to know this word, with riotous living. The idea of riotous living, riotous is the word asotias. We get the word soteriology from. It's the study of salvation. Soterios is the idea of salvation or being saved. When somebody is saved, they can be saved from, you know, Peter was drowning, save me. It's not about salvation always, but it has the idea of being saved. And this word is the antithesis of being lost, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And he wasted his living by doing things that were asotias. They were unsavingly done. Do you think Christians do that? I mean, you may be on the religious journey, as it were, but you have no lift because you don't have any thought of, you know, no intentionality about the salvation of others. Does that even make sense? If it really is, like I often say, a train wreck and people are bleeding, is it really a legitimate thing for me and you to live as if there isn't something to be concerned about with the person next to us at work or the next to us in the airplane if you're traveling? Because, you know, you get one chance. I'm sitting in an airplane. First thing I'm doing is thinking, I wonder who I'm going to sit next to. And pretty much you know in the first minute or two whether you're going to be able to talk to them or not. And if you are able to, you ought to. Go for it, man. And be prepared. All I'm saying is, we need to be of a saving mind. And that's what he's saying. He went out there and did that which was riotous, which is basically bull in a china shop. He's the guy who's out there. He's doing nothing of a saving nature. And everything is lost. His testimony and his influence and so forth. And the Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose in verse 14 a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, I'm going to go to the last word I want to get here first and come back to the one that's before it. The word want is the word hysterios. It's the idea of hysterical. He began to get hysterical. The word for famine reminds me of the fact that when you don't really follow the Lord, you know, we've talked about this parable of the seeds and the sower. You got scorched and you got withered, okay? The choking and the withering, the scorching of the sun, persecution. This is what happened to him. I've said before, you can go to heaven the easy way or the hard way. The easy way doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It just means you're going to have Jesus with you where you are. You know, if you find yourself hit an air pocket on that plane and it goes like this, he's going to pick you back up, okay? He's got you, okay? Life is going to be hard. Devil's going to come after you. He's coming after churches across America now. It won't be long before we get a phone call. And it says, hey, I'm Governor DeWine's representative. We need to come over and talk to you. Well, how'd you get this number? Never mind that. And this is what we were telling you about the tweet this past... the twit. What did I say? Who was I referring to? The twit. You figure it out. Anyway, the tweet I got this past week was about if they call you, you need to answer. And you're going to get that call, perhaps, because they're not letting go of it. It's like a dog with a bone. They're just not letting go of this. They're not letting go of this. And I say to you that you and I, if we don't walk with the Lord, we can find ourselves in positions of famine. For 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about barren and unfruitfulness. And he's in a famine, and it gets to the place where he's hysterical, in essence. And you think about that. In fact, the word for hysterical is a word that really does come home to my heart because I've seen people get into this position. The idea of hysterics. It'd be interesting for you to look this up. They used to attribute it just to women in older dictionaries. Interesting. So you look it up just for little homework. But literally the word means too late. It has the idea of coming late, but it means to be too late. Somebody who's hysterical is somebody who thinks it's too late. And a believer who knows what's right and what's wrong, at least a little bit, they can get in a place where they're hysterical because they think, I'm lost or I'm not saved or I don't even know. Who can I ask? And I don't know. And they just can't think straight. And that is what this kid's found himself in.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.